Okay, let's start our discussion of Parshas Korach, Tavshin Ayin, as we get into the continuation of the travels and events that happened to Bnei Yisrael throughout the Midbar. As I mentioned last week, this week the Shia will still be up on both the YUTorah.org and OU.org, but as of next week, the Shia will be on OU.org. Please, anybody who knows of any friends that listen, hope either last week or this week they were listening, but please forward them the information that OU.org is the new place for the Parsha Shir every week. Okay, Parshas Korach. Let's start off with a one-line thought, which I haven't had in a couple of weeks, but the question of Korach to Moshe Rabbeinu, Medrash tells us, is the question of tzitzis. Question of tzitzis. Korach says, if you have a room full, if you have a beged, we'll get to the room in a second. If one has a beged that's all blue, do you have to put tzitzis on the beged? That was one question, which we'll deal with in a minute. That's not going to be the short one. But the other one is, and that is, if you have a room full of Sifrei Torah, do you have to put a mezuzah on the door? That was his question. You have a whole room full of Sifrei Torah, do you have to put a mezuzah on the door? So the halacha is yes. So we'll get to the symbolism of that in a minute. But I just saw one-line thoughts that one of the rebbes suggested, and that is, Korach said, you have all the Torahs in! You still need a mezuzah. Why? Because you could have all, you could be a good, great Jew inside. You could be full of Sifrei Torah inside. But you got to have something outside as well. You got to have something on the door as well. You got to have something on the, just being a Jew on the inside, right? That's not enough. It's got to be a Jew on the outside as well, not just the Sifrei Torah inside, but you got to have that mezuzah on the outside. Okay, let's continue. So let's deal with this question of tzitzis. So what exactly was the symbolism of the Korach's question about tzitzis? Moshe Rabbeinu, you have a beged, full, it's all blue. Do you need one little string, two little strings, whatever the opinion is, little blue strings? Whatever the symbolism of the blue is supposed to make us think of wonderful things, as we'll see. But Korach says, doesn't make sense. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, that's the halacha. So we're going to have tonight, we're going to have a couple of answers. Instead of having a lot of different ideas, we will have, but we're going to have three answers to two different questions. So this is the first question. What exactly is the message of the tzitzis that bothered Korach, and what was Moshe Rabbeinu's response? So we start off with, this story wouldn't have caught my eye, but somebody came over to me last Shabbos and said, did you hear about this story? And I said, I never heard of it. And then I opened up a sefer preparing for the shiur, and boom, the story was right there. So again, we're not having any Zohars tonight. I know we had one or two last week, but this story is as close to a Zohar as we'll get. Shemana Tov, in source number one, I guess it's a known story if I already had two acquaintances with it this week. Quotes from the Satmar Rebbe that quoted, V'yismach Moshe told the Yitav Lev. Those are all in the line of Satmar Rebbe's. So the story is about the Yismach Moshe. It's line two. Ki nimsa kfar b'pam ha-shlishi b'olam hazeh. Somehow, the Yismach Moshe knew that he was a Gilgal. He had previously been on this earth. The Yismach Moshe knew. U'milafnim hayu b'dar ha-midbar. One of his previous Gilgulim was in the Dar ha-midbar. He had been in the generation of the desert. V'haya ba'is machlokas Korach and Moshe Rabbeinu. He was around during the time of Korach and Moshe Rabbeinu. Wow. The Amar, and he said, he describes to his grandson. The Yismach Moshe tells the Yitav Lev, I was there, and Kol Rashi Sanhedrin Yosayu Bazad Korach, all the great rabbanim of the generation, they were on Korach's side. Masha'en ken klal hamon ha'am hayu mitzadadim im Moshe. All the hamon ha'am, all the Jews, they were on Moshe Rabbeinu's side. But all the great Sanhedrin, they were on Korach's side. V'shalo ha'yitav lev, v'mi ha'yitata, Zaydi, who were you with? Who were you with, Zaydi? Ana lo yismach Moshe, ki amad min hatzad, v'lo laka chelek min lachlokes. He was on the side. He didn't take any side. He was on the side. And then the Yitav Lev says, Zaydi, you weren't on Moshe Rabbeinu's side. You saw the Makkos, and you saw Kriyas Yamsuf, and you had the mun every day, and you weren't on Moshe Rabbeinu's side? The Yismach Moshe answers him, De'imatasho elzos, the fact that you asked that question, Siminhu shelo hikarta et Korach. It's obvious that you don't really know Korach. Because if you would have been there, you would have been on Korach's side. Korach had such a power, such a speaking ability, such a convincing ability, as we'll talk about. He says, you would have been with Korach. I at least was in the middle. I was at least neutral. See, you see, Korach had a power. The Gemara says, Korach pikecha. He was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. So again, we come back to the question, why tzitzis? Why is that focused on? You need the little string, so many mitzvahs. And that's, okay, in the Torah, tzitzis was last week's parsha, so you have the connection from the Mekoshesh to the tzitzis to the Korach. Okay, but tachlis, what's the token? What's the content of the tzitzis question that bothered Korach? So, three ideas going backwards in history. First, we start with contemporary from the Shemin Atov, his approach, which we mentioned an idea similar to his last year. Then we'll go back in time, little by little, to see three ideas from the Achron. Says the Shemin Atov, last paragraph. Ela de Totwas Biasodo de Hefech Wanachon. De Dafka Mishum. Excuse me. She'ein bo elachut echad adom liyam. V'yam dom lirkiya v'rkiya dom lirkisiya kavid. Specifically because it's only one string. That's the message. That's the message that is meant to be had from the mitzvah of tzitzis. Davka oso chut echad mevi'u lidi akaru u'reisim oso. Ma she'ein kein beged shalem. Why? Why is one string more than the whole beged? Says the Shemin Atov. Because the point of Korach not understanding is that the message is that we have to sometimes be mevatel our own mind, our own logic, our own understandings for what the Torah wants from us and for how Chazal interpret the Torah. Third to last line, v'ha'ikar d'yesh lomo mikan, d'yefshar lamod al amitas ha'Torah, mibali levatel seichel ha'adam, u'lahavin divrei Chazal v'gdol Yisrael shebechol dar v'dar, shebiladam, without the Chachamim, understanding of the Torah, why tzitzis? Tzitzis was just an example of Korach using his own logic. We developed this idea at length last year. I just gave you this one idea from Rav Soloveitchik, had an article called The Common Sense Rebellion Against Torah Authority, which we mentioned in last year's shiur. Says the Shemin Atov, that's tzitzis. Tzitzis is an example of a mitzvah that Korach thinks he understands. Whatever the point of tzitzis is, you can get it with a whole beged. And we say no. One string, even if the beged is all blue, because it's Torah, and understanding of mitzvos is not based on what we think, it's based on how Chazal understand the mitzvos, and based on what it says in the Torah. One idea. Idea number two, going a little bit back in history, from Rav Zevin. Latar v'lamo'adim, source number two. Says Rav Zevin, quotes the issue of tzitzis, tala shekula tcheles, chayevet betzitzis opetura, what's the connection between Korach and tzitzis? Says Rav Zevin, Emunas Hashem u'maisa ha-mitzvos to'amim yelchu v'lo yispardu. Belief in God and maisa ha-mitzvos, actions, they have to go hand in hand. Those are the two parts of our avodah in this world. Believing in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and acting for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's impossible. Mitzvahs don't make sense unless there's emuna. Why am I going to do a mitzvah if I don't have emuna? Where it came from? Like we learned, the Mishnah Maseches Brachos. What does the Mishnah say? Describing and explaining the order of the parashiyos of Kriya Shema. Why do we say Shema before Vahaya? Why do we say Vahaya before Vayomer? We say Shema before Vahaya. Why? Because Shema is Kabbalah Somachos Shemayim. Second parsha, v'haya kabbalah sol mitzvos. If you do this, you're going to get schar. If you're not, you're going to get onish, v'chara af Hashem. So kabbalah sol mitzvos, actions, don't have a basis, don't have a foundation without the prior emunah. But rishonet tzarech lios mitzaveh. First, it has to be a commander, capital C, v'achar kach mitzvah. But on the other hand, says Rav Zevin, the opposite also is lacking. Avol meidach gam emuna b'li mitzvos lav shema emuna. What if I have full, complete faith, emuna, but I don't bring it to action? I don't concretize it into commitment of mitzvos. That also is tremendously lacking. Ki Hashem alokecha ish ochlahu. And Rav Zevin says HaKadosh Baruch Hu is compared to a fire. Kishem she'i efshar la'ish lehiskayem y'beli she'tochas b'psilu v'shemen. A fire cannot exist unless it has something that it's burning. There's a wick. There's wax. There's fuel. A fire cannot exist ba'avir or b'chol davar shehu. So too, halakol davar ha'keishnu mashem. If I have just emuna, I have the fire of emuna in me. If I don't anchor it in actions, it's just going to go out. It's not going to last. V'yafshar le'emuna artila'it. Emuna by itself will not last. Etiskayim mebelisha te'achiz b'maisim gashmim shol mitzvah. So we need emuna and mitzvahs. We can't have one without the other. Rav Zevin suggests tcheles and tzitzis remind us of one and the other. Tcheles v'hatzitzis meramzos al emunas Hashem u'maisa mitzvahs. Each one. Take each one. Says Rav Zevin ala tcheles amru. What do we learn about tcheles? The Gemara tells us. Tcheles domel yam, v'yam domel rakia. Tcheles is a little bluish. It reminds us of the sea. The sea reminds us of the sky. The sky reminds us of the Kisei HaKavod, of God's throne. However, we're supposed to understand that. Shenemer v'tachas ragalav k'maisa l'vnas asapir. V'ksiv k'marad evan Kisei HaKavod. Kisei HaKavod, that's emuna. Kadosh Baruch Hu. Tcheles brings us to emuna. Brings us to a Akara v'Kadosh Baruch Hu. Emuna b'Hashem. What about the rest of the tzitzis? Only one or two strings have to be emuna, have to be blue. The other strings, depending on what you hold, which shita, 1, 2, 4, different shitas in the Rishonim. But the other strings are white. What do those strings symbolize? All them? V'yala tzitzis kasuv, u'ri'isam oso, u'zachartem eskol mitzvos Hashem, v'asisam osam. Actions, do them, v'asisam osam. And what does Rashi say? Tzitzis, skematria, right? You have 600 and the 8 strings and the 5 knots. Get it all together, you get taryag. Mitzvos. Tzitzis is about mitzvos. You put it together, the tcheles is about emuna, the tzitzis is about mitzvos. Says Korach to Moshe Rabbeinu, if you have a beged, that's all tcheles, it's all blue, what do you have to put the tzitzis on it? Meaning Korach was saying, I believe, I have emuna, what more do I need? Emuna b'Hashem, tcheles, the Kisei HaKavod, it's good enough for me. That's all I believe. Creed, not deed, is what Korach said. That's all you need. You just need belief. Why? What does Rashi say? Ki kol ha'ida kulam kadoshim. Next page on top. Ki kol ha'ida kulam kadoshim over Rashi. Lo atem levadchem shamatem b'sinai nochi Hashem alokecha. You're not the only ones that heard Anochi Hashem. All the nation heard Anochi Hashem. What is Anochi Hashem? That's Emuna. That was Korach. Korach said, what do we have to commit to the mitzvahs for? And now we believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the tcheles is. Kisei HaKavod. B'mitzvah shalosh shamanu kulanu and enu ma'aminim. We don't have to mitzvahs. Who told us the mitzvahs? Moshe, you told us the mitzvahs. U'matua tisnasu akal Hashem. What are you giving us extra commitments for? That's the tcheles. And that is the tzitzis. That's what Korach couldn't handle. And that's what he ends off from Zevin by saying, as the Chazal tell us, U'vnei Korach lo mesu. The Bnei Korach didn't die. So what does that mean, Uvnei Korach lo mesu? So some say that's a positive. Did they do tshuva? Did they not do tshuva? So if Zevin says Bnei Korach lo mesu, you know what that means? In every generation, there are Bnei Korach. In every generation, there are people who say, you know, emuna. It's all about emuna. I believe. It's one. That's all I need. I have to do every detail of every mitzvah. I have to commit. I'll rest on Shabbos in my way. I'll do this. I'll do that. Bnei Korach lo mesu. Parshas Korach teaches us we got to make sure that we're committed to both halves of being a full Jew, and that is the commitment of emuna and the commitment of Maisa HaMitzvos. I gave you two other sources, each one illustrating a little further the idea of you can't have one without the other. Each one focusing on another one. We might have mentioned this in other contexts. First is the Shita of the Bahag. The Sheet of the Bahag. We'll get to the Sheet of the Bahag by seeing the Sheet of the Rambam. The Bahag was one of the Rishonim, the Baal Halachos Gedolos, one of the first, if not the earliest, to formulate a Sefer HaMitzvahs. Everybody agrees there are 613 mitzvahs. That's what the Gemara says at the end of Maseches Makkos. Daf Yomi just started learning Maseches Makkos. The end of the Sefer, the Maseches Makkos, the Gemara has a drasha. Torah Tzivalanu Moshe. Torah is Gematria 611. Torah we got from Moshe Rabbeinu. Tzivalanu Moshe. We got two straight from Hashem. 611 plus 2 equals 613. That's the source for 613. So everybody agrees there are 613 mitzvahs. Everybody argues, what are those mitzvahs? So one of the earliest countings was the Bahag. So we'll get to the Bahag sheet in a minute. But first we'll see the Rambam. The Rambam, the first mitzvah of the 613 that the Rambam quotes is, unlike the Chinuch, who does it in Parsha order, the Rambam does it in his own order. The first mitzvah is Emunah. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, source number 4. The Rambam says, Mitzvah Aleph, Hitzivu Yesher Tzivanu B'ha'amonas HaElokus, believing in Hashem. V'hu Shenamin, we have to believe, She'esham Ela V'siba, there is an original source for all of existence. Who poel l'chol hanim sa'im. He causes everything to exist. V'hu amru anochi Hashem Elokecha. And it's the end of Maseches Makkos. He quotes that the Gemara that I just quoted. Torah Tzivalanu Moshe. And two we heard straight from Hashem. Anochi v'lo yelecha. That's the Rambam. Doesn't seem so controversial. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. What's amazing is the Bahag in his 613 does not count Anochi Hashem Elokecha. It's not there. Does not quote Emunah as a mitzvah. And the Rambam, it's a Pella. That should be number one. That should be number one. What do you mean? Don't count that Anochi Hashem Elokecha as a mitzvah. There's no other greater mitzvah. The Ramban himself agrees with the Rambam. If you look at the Ramban on Parshas Yisro, I didn't give it to you, but you look at the Ramban on Parshas Yisro, the Ramban counts Anochi as a mitzvah asei daraisa, separate mitzvah. But the Ramban, Kedarka Bakodesh, says, I have to defend the covet of the Rishonim. The Ramban consistently, throughout his works, Dr. Chaim Soloveitchik points this out, the Ramban was had an unbelievable mind, right? He was started the Beis Medrash of Chachmei Sfarad, Ramban, Rashi, Beit Varan. He devotes so much mental energy to defending other people's opinions. It's amazing. If you look at the Ramban on the bottom of the Rif, in the back of every Gemara, the Ramban, sometimes, he writes in Azak Dhamma, sometimes I disagree with the Rif, but I got to defend the Rif from the attacks of the Balamar, from the attacks of the Ravid. He wrote a Sefer called the Melchamos Hashem, defending the Rif from the Balamar. He wrote a Sefer, Sefer Azchus, defending the Rif from the attacks of the Ravid. He wrote a Sefer, Hasagos, on the Sefer Mitzvahs of the Rambam, defending the Bahag. Even though sometimes the Ramban agrees to the Rambam, but he said, but look, I got to defend their covet. So here's an example. The Ramban says, I agree with the Rambam. I think you should count that as a mitzvah. But I got to explain the Bahag. Why doesn't the Bahag count Anochi Hashem Elokecha? Says the Ramban right there, Vahanira, fourth wide line in source number 5. Vahanira mi daitel shel ba'al ha'halachos. She'ein min yintari mitzvahs elag zeirosav yis'aleh. The mitzvahs are decrees. Shegazar aleinu la'asos. O mananu shelo na'aseh. That he told us to do or he warned us not to do. Aval ha'emuna b'mitzi'uso yis'aleh. Shehodia osa eleinu ba'osos umosim. U'begilu shechina le'inenu. He ha'ikr v'hashoresh shemimenu noldu ha'mitzvos. Belief is the source from which all mitzvos came. Lo yimane b'cheshbonan, says the Ramban, counting emunah as a mitzvah would be minimizing what emunah is. Emunah isn't just another mitzvah. Emunah is the prerequisite. Emunah is the basis for all other mitzvahs. You can't do mitzvahs if there's no mitzvah. Mitzvah requires there being a mitzvah. A mitzvah is a belief I need to then do the mitzvos that the mitzvah commanded me. But it's not a mitzvah itself to believe in the mitzvah. The mitzvah comes first. It sounds so convincing, you gotta go back to the Rambam. How can the Rambam count that as a mitzvah? You're right, it's the source, but, you know, it's still a mitzvah itself. But this Ramban, defending the Bahag, helps illustrate one side of Rav Zevin. You can't just have mitzvahs. Emunah is the basis of it all. Just going through the mitzvahs, a person doesn't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look at the mitzvahs, it makes sense. So you can't just do the mitzvahs, you have to have emunah. But on the other hand, Rav Chaim Yivalazhin writes in a number of places in Nefesh HaChaim, I just gave you one of them in source number 6, Emunah is not good enough. We have to concretize our avoda. And he writes this over and over again. The details, the focus on every Maisa HaMitzvah. I could love Hashem and I could sit there all day. I love Hashem, I love Hashem. If I don't daven at the proper time, if I blow shofar on Sukkos, even with the best kavanis, it doesn't work. I'm not doing what God wants. You can have all the emunah in the world, but if I don't do the mitzvahs that He asks me to do, so then it's not that's not called a commitment. Says Rav Chaim in the Nefesh HaChaim, source 6. Vasher kiyem kol ha-mitzvos b'shleimus. When a person does all the mitzvahs with incompleteness, b'chol pratam v'dikduchem b'ikar ha-maisa, and I focus on the action, v'nosef aleim hitzarif otzem taras v'kdushas ha-machshava, and I couple that with the greatness of the machshava for the mitzvah, hari tikin kol ha-olamos v'astarim ha-alyonim. That's when I bring perfection, I bring amazing effects in Shemayim, v'nasa kula b'kol kochosa v'ivara merkava lahem, and all of my kochos become a merkava, a chariot, to bring a Kiddush Hashem in the world. Okay? But says Rav Chaim Volozhin, emunah is not the end all and the be all. You got to do the ma'asim. You got to focus on the mitzvahs. So, the Bahag emphasizes the emunah, and the Nefesh HaChaim emphasizes the mitzvahs. So, but that is all number two. Idea number two, we started off with the question, why tzitzis? What is Korach's emphasis on tzitzis? So, number one was the Shemen HaTov, because you can't always rely on your own seichel. We have to rely on the Chachmei HaMesorah. And that's what Dafka tzitzis. Does it make sense to you? That's the point. Number two is Rav Zevin, that it's a combination of emunah and Maisa HaMitzvos. Korach only wanted the emunah. Kikol Ha'eda Kulam Kadosh. And finally, the third idea, before we move on to other issues. The third idea, going backwards in history again, is from the Ksav Sofer. Ksav Sofer, son of the Chazam Sofer, again, asked the question that all the Mefarshim ask. Why this issue of tzitzis? And he asked it as follows, the end of line 2. Sorach Ladas, Lama Bachru B'Sheila Zu Dafka. Why Dafka this question? Gam Sorach Lomar, Halo Korach Gadol B'Torah Haya. Korach was a Gadol B'Torah, he was a Talmud Chacham. Ve'ech Lo Yoda Din Emesh Shachaya B'Tzitzis. He didn't know the mitzvah? He didn't know the halacha? He obviously knew the halacha. So what was he bothered by? So the Ksav Sofer gives a mashal. Venerally gives a mashal. He quotes the Chazal of Dom Eliyam, Dom Lerakia, Dom Lekisi HaKavid. And he says, what's the deeper idea? I'm in source number 7. What's the deeper idea of that mashal of Dom Eliyam going up to the Kisi HaKavid? End of line 5. V'hinei shnei ohavim. Two friends. Let's say there are two friends that are parting ways. They're traveling away from each other. Right, end of the year. Yeshiva and Reisha, tomorrow is the last day of Shir. So, two friends are parting. Nosin echan mechavero eza chayfetz. Kedesh yeneged o avot tamid shalo yishkachehu. Each friend gives a memento. Gives something so that the other person remembers them. You know, we had great times. Wonderful. So you know what? I give my whoever I'm with, my companion, whoever, I give them something to remember me by. But says the Ksav Sofer, Avalim gozva ha'ava b'neihem kolkach ashi yefshel l'shochachol. Let's say they're such good friends, they're best friends, they love each other, they're not going to forget each other. It's not happening. So then there's a different type of memento that's given. It's not just a memento of, oh, take this and you'll remember me by it. What's given is Nosin Ho'echel L'Chaveiro, line 8. Dover Hadomelo. The item that's given over is not just something, oh, this will jar my memory and I'll remember my friend. No, it's something that somehow concretizes my friend in my eyes. Something that's dome, that reminds me of my friend. That it's the content of the item given plays more of a role than just, oh yeah, my friend gave me this. No, there's something about the content of the gift that reminds the person. Kotsura, otseva, a color, a form. Shem ein roo, so if I can't see my friend, l'chala pachos roa dover migufo. I'll see this, I'm like, oh, this is a piece of them. This is their identity, the closest that I could get to them. And this will help me through. Okay, so two kinds of friends. The nag, okay, friends, and they have to go through, they got one level of memento, and the next, great, amazing friends, they don't just get that, but they get something mahuti that is connected to the identification of the friend itself. Continues the Ksav Sofer. Step 2. Skip to line 12. Vehine. The first type of friend, you're not amazing best friends, you're just, you know, okay friends. The gift has to be something unusual. The gift has to be something matmiya. Oh yeah, this is strange. Oh, my friend gave me this. If I give them a pen, a regular pen, they're not going to remember me by then. That's not going to jar the memory. So it's got to be something really unusual for the first type. V'tzorach midi laskiro, zetzorach lamilsa detmiya. Sha'al yidei zeh yizkar, v'lo yishkach. In that way I'll remember. Aval mi she'eno tzarech lazeh, ela she'chafetz v'rotzeh she'yil l'neged einav, dover hadomeh. But in the second type of friend, where it's my best friend, I'm never going to forget them, I don't need something strange. Just give me something that's similar to that person. Just give me something that's similar to that, and then I'll remember. It doesn't have to be strange. I'm not going to forget them anyway. When I look at that, I will identify in my mind that person. You don't need something strange. So that's the background. Now we come to Korach and Moshe. What does Korach say to Moshe? Or let's go take a step back for a minute. Tzitzis with strings is something unusual. People don't usually have clothing like that. Maybe they have a couple of hems sticking out. But to have all these strings and knots coming out of the sides of our begadim, that is something matmiya. That is something that people who aren't, right? That's like the story a few weeks ago about the on the airplane, the guy was wearing tefillin, they thought it was a bomb, whatever. Right? People never wore tzitzis. What is that? Right? What is going? That's something strange. A blue shirt is not strange. That's not strange. A blue baguette is not strange. Says Korach, Moshe Rabbeinu, Kalei da kulam kedoshim. We are all so close to God. We are like this. We are best friends. We're on such a level. Moshe, kulot cheles. I know the mitzvah of tzitzis, but we're on such a level, says Korach. He was so overly confident. He was so without any boundaries. He was buddy-buddy with God. Korach says, I'm buddy-buddy. I don't need something strange. Just give me the blue shirt. After all, blue is Dom Miliam, Dom Lerakia, Dom Lekisia Kovid. That's for a best friend. That's a Dover Hadomeh. Korach says, I want the second type. That's all I need. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, no. You got to realize, yes, have some blue in it. But there's also a separation. There's also a Yirat Hashem that we have to have. There's certain boundaries that cannot be crossed. Right? Everybody, all the Mepharshim, just to eat under the quota, but you can add to this, Vayikach Korach. Korach took. What did he take? So, 1,000 pshatim. Doesn't say what he took. What did he take? So he took more than he should have. He took a place too close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kol Eida, he was jumping. He was jumping too close. Moshe Rabbeinu says to him, Rav Lachem, too much. Yes, tzitzis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us something to remind us, but there's still boundaries. There's still boundaries that cannot be crossed. That was the machlokas between Korach and Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, three ideas. Okay, moving right along. Two small thoughts, and then we'll get back to another question with three answers. That's the structure of tonight. A couple of answers to one question. Okay, first, two other thoughts. We haven't opened up a chumash yet. Let's open up a chumash. Perek Tezayin, Pasuk Gimel, third pasuk in the parasha. The Korach and his team, Dasan and Aviram, they get up in front of Moshe Rabbeinu with 250 men, Kriyei Moed. We'll talk about that phrase on Shabbos, Anshei Shem. Vayikalu al Moshe v'al Aaron. They gather in front of Moshe and Aaron, Vayomer aleihem Rav Lachem. Rav Lachem, too much. Ki kol ha'eda kulam kedoshim uvetocham Hashem. What's amazing is that this is the only sentence we have in Torah Shebichzav that Korach said. We have one sentence. That's all Korach said. That's an interesting ha'ara. Kol ha'eda kulam kedoshim uvetocham Hashem. That's it. And then Korach speaks to Moshe talks to Korach, Boker v'Yoda, but that's it, right? Korach, Moshe talks more. Moshe tries to convince them not to do it. You don't hear another word from Korach. Korach gathers his Eda, and Hashem says to go away. Then eventually, as we know, Korach is swallowed up. The only line we have is right here: Rav Lachem, ki kol ha'eda kulam kedoshim uvetocham Hashem. Ask one of the Mefarshim, as we'll see. What's the double lashon of kol ha'eda kulam kedoshim? Just say, ki kol ha'eda kadoshim. The whole eid is kadoshim. Or, ki ha'eda kulam kadoshim. What's the double lashon? Kol ha'eda kulam kadoshim. The entire eid, they're all holy. What's the double lashon? So one of the mefarshim in the Talalei Oros quotes, maybe it's similar to a taz. A taz, Rosh Chodesh Tammuz this week, so maybe we're already thinking about Yom Narayim coming up in a couple of months. On Yom Narayim, in Shmona Esrei, we ask Hashem that He should rule over the whole world. Miloch al kol ha'olam kulo bechvodecha. Hashem, please rule over the whole world. But what do we say? Miloch al kol ha'olam kulo bechvodecha. Again, ask the Taz. What's the double lashon? Kol ha'olam kulo. How many times have we said that? We never thought about it. Kol ha'olam kulo bechvodecha. Rule over the whole world. So what is it? Why the double lashon? It says the Taz in Siman Tafresh Pei Beis in Arachayim, source number 8 on the bottom. V'nira li, third line, liyashev. D'matsinu harbe pa'amim rubo kikulo. Many times in Judaism, in Halacha, we find the principle of the majority is like the whole thing. Rubo kikulo, rove is good enough. All you gotta have is rove. Not a shochet, no, if he has to shecht, rove the simanim. Rubo kikulo, so all you gotta do is rove. What is this rove? Comes up in many different areas. This whole Chanachra rove, but Ruba Kakula, the whole thing is like the majority. Says the Taz, you might think that we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, rule over the whole world, you know, the majority is also good. No. When we daven HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to rule over every single person in the world. Not Ruba Kakula. That's what we're emphasizing. Beloch al kol ha'olam kulo. Mamish, everybody. Bichlo decha. Kamash Malankan, Kulo Mamish. That's the Kiddush of the Taz. Should try to have that Kavana next time in a couple of months. Miloch Akol Ha'ulam Kulo Bifodecha. That's a double lashon of Kulo. So suggest the Talalei Oros on the next page, quoting from the Binyan Ariel. Maybe that's the Pshat here also. Korach says, Ki Kol Ha'eda Kulam Kedoshim. What's the double lashon? So what does Rashi say on Kol Ha'eda Kulam Kedoshim? Rashi says, after all, everybody was at Har Sinai. We're all Kadosh. So what happened at Har Sinai? Every single Jew in the history of the world was at Har Sinai. Every single Jew. The Yamsha Shlomo, I didn't give it to you. The Yamsha Shlomo writes, the Marshal, in his Hakdama to his Sefer on Baba Kama, that at Matan Torah, every single Jew was there. Every Ger, everybody in the history of the world, we were all our Neshamas were there. And we each had our own Kabbalah Satorah, our own personal pipeline, so to speak. Every pipeline was going down to us, and that's why we all view things differently. Elu ve'elu, divrei Elokim Chayim. Because we each had our own Kabbalah Satorah. So the Marshal quotes, the beginning of Yom Tov Shlomo, on Baba Kama. So we were all there, every single one of us. That's Korach's emphasis. Ki kol ha'eda kulam kadoshim Moshe. Every single Jew was at Har Sinai. Not even the majority, every single Jew. Korach, line 6. Bikish lahadgish. Korach was emphasizing. Lifnei Moshe Rabbeinu. Shekol ha'eda mamish. The entire Eda. Lilo yotzi minaklau. Kulam kedoshim. Without exception. They were all holy. And that's why he said, Alkin ha'echayav lachzor v'lichbol kol ha'eda kulam. Ube'emeth. Then he quotes, Minayin lo l'korach shekol ha'eda hadid yon kulam kedoshim. Because they were all at our Sinai. So maybe that double lashon is similar to the double lashon that we have on Yomim Noraim. Good. Another interesting thought. And that is, I call it a charifus, but once you see these two Gemaras put together, it's like, why? How could you not put the two Gemaras together? Here's a question that is asked Chazal, bothered by. If you remember the beginning of the parasha, Korach has his team. Who's on Korach's team? Well, we know the Yitav Lev was not on his team. But who was on Korach's team? So Korach and Dasam and Aviram. Was that the Yitav Lev or was it his grandfather? I remember the Yitzhak Moshe. The Yitav Lev's grandfather. So who was on Korach's team? Dasam and Aviram, Own Ben Peles, and the 250 men. So the Torah continues to tell us what happened to the 250 men. The Torah continues to tell us what happened to Dasam and Aviram. The Torah does not tell us what happened to Own Ben Peles. He disappears off the scene. So what happened? Don Ben Peles. So those who learned Afyomi know the Gemara in Maseches Sanhedrin that we had 2 weeks ago. Source number 10. Own Ben Peles was saved by his wife. Says the Gemara, source number 10, Sanhedrin, Kuf Tasma Beis, the last few lines going up to the next daf, Kuf Yudam and Aleph, Peles Shenasu Lo Plaos. He had a wonder done to him. Ben Ruvain, let's skip that, Amarav. On Ben Peles Ishto Hisilaso. On Ben Peles, his wife saved him. Why? Amrele, she said to him, My nafka v'chamina, what difference is it to you? Imar Rabba Antalmida, Vimar Rabba Antalmida. Honey, either way, you're not going to be the big gun, right? Either Karach's going to win or Moshe's going to win. Either way, she knew deep down that Moshe was right, but she was just trying to convince him not to be the Karach. What difference does it make to you? Why should you fight? You're going to be his vice president anyway. You're never going to get above that. So what's in it for you? On my loss, he says to her, My Evid, Havoi Be'etza, what should I do? I was in the original meeting. I'm on the Korach's board. Vishtavoy li bahadayu, and I swore to him that I'd be there. What am I supposed to do? Amrele, she says, leave it to me. Leave it to me. Amrele yadana dekula kanishta kadishta ninu. I know that this whole Eda is holy. Dichsiv ki kol Eda kulam kadoshim. She says that to herself. Kol Eda kulam kadoshim. What'd she do? Amrele tuv da anomatzil malacha. I'm going to save you. So what'd she do? Ashkitech amr. She gave him a couple of drinks of wine. V'arvite. And she got him drunk. V'angite gavoy. And she put him to sleep inside the tent. Okay, so now On is sleeping. Osva al baba. She goes to sit at the gate, the door of the tent. V'satarta lemazia. She uncovers her hair. She's a married woman and she uncovers her hair. Called to Asa, whoever came by, Korach's waiting for you. Whoever came by sees this married woman with uncovered hair, they're like, oh, Chazya. They saw her, Hadar, they left. Atahachi vahachi, and meanwhile, Ivlalahu. The whole swallowing up took place. That's how she saved her husband. She went and sat at the tent with her hair uncovered, and in that way she was able to save the day. Not for now, but also, a message. These people were ready to rebel against Moshe Rabbeinu, but they wouldn't look at a woman with her hair uncovered. It's pretty amazing type of hierarchy of values that they had. But that's a separate idea. But that's what the Gemara says. So saved by the wife. Question is, why dafka did she pick the hair? Why'd she uncover her hair? No, she could have revealed herself in some other way. So why dafka the hair did she uncover? And how did she know? And how did she know that dafka would be the way to prevent them from coming? So I saw in two different svarim. So in the Sharm Siyana Balacha quotes this on Sanhedrin, and then I saw it this week from another sefer, another achron. Maybe this gemara should be seen in light of another gemara. The gemara in Yuma Mem Zayin. Yuma Mem Zayin tells us a story of Kimchis. Kimchis was a very special woman. The Gemara says, Tanur Rabbanan, Shiva Banim Hayola Kimchis. She had seven boys. V'kulan Shimshu Pekahuna Gedola. They were all Kahanim Gedola. Wow. Amru lo Chachamim. Ma Asita Shezachita Lekach. What do you do? How are you Zohar to have seven sons who are all Kahanim Gedolim? I don't know what happened. How were they Kahanim Gedola? That they were all, did they die? Once you're a Kohen Gadol, you're not removed from the office until you get too old. I don't exactly know how they could have seven, but okay. Amr Lahem, she said to them, how was I Zocha? Miyamai lo ra'u koros besi kalisari. The walls of my house never saw my hair. That's what she said. This is not me'ikir hadin halacha, and we're not even saying, and I'm not even suggesting this is something that is a lachadchila. I'm not. No poskim are not saying that. But this is a woman. Kimchis never had, she went to sleep with her hair covered. Shulchan Aruch doesn't say that. Shulchan Aruch talks about when you're outside amongst others. But when you're inside your house, make her a din, you don't have to cover your hair. Says the Gemara, but it was Kimchis who went lefnim, 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 meshuras adin. She was zocha to have kahanim gedolim. Says Aisha's own Ben Peles, I know that covering hair leads to kahuna gedola. I don't want my husband anywhere near the kahuna gedola with Korach and his fight for Aaron HaKohen's position. I'm going to uncover my hair. Stavka, the anti-Kimchis. Aisha's own Ben Peles and Kimchis. She got the Kuna Gadola by extra covering. She prevented her husband from getting anywhere near the Kuna Gadola by uncovering her hair. And I saw another way I saw formulated today was that when they came, the people saw, this is his wife, forget it. He's not going to be zochah to the Kuna Gadola because the Kohen Gadol has to have such a wife. Sanhedrin and Yuma. Got to put them together. Good. Okay. Finally, we get to the next question that we want to deal with three answers. Continue reading. Again, these are two of the famous questions on the Parsha. I know there's a lot after the Korach story in the Parsha, but we're going to focus on the Korach side of it. You know, after Korach comes to argue, Moshe Rabbeinu davens to Hashem. And Moshe Rabbeinu says in Perek Tezayin, Pasik Chavches, Vayomer Moshe, Bezos Teidun ki Hashem Shalachani, with this you shall know that Hashem sent me, Lasos is Kolam Aisa Ma'ela Kilo Milibi. With the following test, you will know that I didn't make this up. I didn't choose myself and Aaron and whoever I chose myself. It wasn't for me. This is the test. Im kamos kol ha'adam yimusin eile. If the way, the normal death that people have, these people have, ufkudas kol adam yipaket aleim, and the regular way that people die, they have, lo Hashem shalachani, then you know, I am a liar. The imbriya yivra Hashem, but if Hashem creates something, ufatisaho adama espiha, and the ground opens up its mouth, uvala osam eskala shalahem, and swallows them up, viyardu chaim sheola, and they are swallowed alive, vidatem, then you will know, kiniyatsu haanashim ha'ela es Hashem. You will know that these people have angered God. That's the test. And then, vahikach haloso, as Moshe is speaking, boom, the ground opened up, and Korach and his followers fell in. Rashi quotes the imbriya, pasuk lamed, the imbriya chadasha yivra Hashem. If Hashem creates a new bria, lahamis lahem b'misa shlomeis ba'adam adheina, to create a death that nobody ever had before. Skip two lines in Rashi. Rabo seinu pirshu imbriya pe la'aretz b'sheisis yimei breishis mutav v'imlav yivra Hashem. Rashi alludes to a Mishnah in Maseches in Pirkei Avos, Maseches Avos. In Bria, if it was created already, great, use it. And if not, Yivra Hashem, let him create it now. That is the Rashi. What's the emphasis of Maisa Bracious here? First of all, even before we get to the approaches, Moshe didn't know the Mishnah. Moshe didn't know what was created in Maisa Bracious. V'im Bria, Yivra Hashem. If Hashem created it, wonderful. Let if not, create it now. Well, Moshe knew everything. Moshe knew everything that a person could imagine. So how could Moshe Rabbeinu not know if this was created, if this was in existence yet or not? So I saw 5 minutes before the shiur. That's why it's not on the sheet. I saw for the Chasam Sofer. If you look at the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that lists in Source 12, skip 11 for a second, the bottom of the page. In Source 12, you have that Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Asara Dvarim Nivru Ben Hashmashas. Right? The 10 things that were created Ben Hashmashas, the last few moments of day 6 of creation. Those last few moments, Hashem got in a few more creations. What were they? Pi Haaretz, this week's Parsha, the land that swallowed Moshe. Pi Ha-Be'er, the Be'er that went with them through the desert. Pi Ha-Aton, next week's Parsha, right? Two weeks, right? Balak. Hakeshes, the rainbow. The Man. All these things were created at Bein HaShemashes. So ask the Chasam Sofer, this Kasha. Moshe didn't know all these creations? Moshe knew everything. How did Moshe not know? What's Rashi talking about? In Bria, if it's created, wonderful. If not, Hashem should create it. Says the Chasam Sofer. Keep reading the Mishnah. One of the things that are on the listed on the Mishnah is Kfuraso Shel Moshe. Says the Chasam Sofer, Moshe couldn't know this Mishnah. Kfura Shel Moshe. Hashem couldn't tell him. Just like according to one opinion, Hashem didn't tell him the last eight psukim of the Torah. Vayomas Shel Moshe Evad Hashem. He can't know that. So says the Chasam Sofer, once the line of Kfura Shel Moshe couldn't be told to Moshe, the whole Mishnah Mestama wasn't told to Moshe, and that's why Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know specifically this. Okay, that's his suggestion. That's printed in the Ela, the Karas L'Shavas Oneg, in the first volume. The last piece in Parshas Korach, it has that Chasam Sofer. But let's get back to it. What's the message that this was created Bein HaShemashes? Right, this is one of the 10 things. Rashi alludes to this. So what does it mean that it was created Bein HaShemashes? So again, three ideas. Three ideas related to the issue of this Bria Bein HaShemashes. Number one is Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky in Source 11. He quotes the Mishnah in the fifth parak, And he quotes, what's the message? Debir ha'inyan kachu, line 6. What does it mean that this one was created by Nashmashas? Di achar shenivra ha'olam b'seder u'mishtar ava hafli. Once Hashem created everything, the whole world, all 6 days of creation, unbelievable. Day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. At the end of creation, Hashem had to stick in a few things. Why? Once Hashem created all the systems, and it's perfect, and there's nothing more to do. Everything's perfect, and nature that Hashem created will help the world subsist. The world, says Rabbi Yaakov, is so perfect that it can lead people to think that there's nobody running the world. Everything is such a perfect system. You go to the jungle and you see how every little bug eats the bug that's a little smaller than it. And every little animal eats the animal that's smaller than it. It's unbelievable. How do all these things survive? It's an unbelievable ecological system everywhere. How do beings survive? It's so perfect. One might think, says Rabbi Yaakov, lead to kfira. So says Rabbi Yaakov, that is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at the end of Maaseh Bereishis, he had to stick in a few things that go against nature. He had to stick in a few things that we call nes, to kind of remind people every so often throughout world history, remember me guys, don't forget, I'm in charge. I created all this. It looks like it's a perfect system and it runs by itself, but HaMechadish B'chol Yom Tov in Maaseh Bereishis. Every second I will it to happen. The Rambam's Lashon, in the beginning of Mishnah Torah, Hu Mamtzi Kol Nimsa. Every second is because of his existence. Next column, Kishahabore Kavayachal Hit Konein Lamsara Ta'olam Bereshus Asmo. When Hashem Kavayachal was ready to press start to the world, Heichin in Yanim Achadim Lahotzi Milibin Shalatoim. He programmed a few things in to be motzi from the lave of the Tom, those who make mistakes. And therefore, v'lachein amru sheheichin pi ha'aretz, because that's an oath. If the ground opens up and people are swallowed, v'chein kol echad v'echad ayi b'shul l'horos l'adam. Everyone, if you look in the Torah, says Rabbi Yaakov, whenever any of these events took place, it's all followed by to teach them. Kimei meriva l'adas ha'yish Hashem b'kirbenu v'man v'idatav ki Hashem osi yaschem eretz Mitzrayim. Even the rainbow, it's a natural occurrence, says Rabbi Yaakov. But we know the Gemara tells us, in certain generations there were no rainbows. Shua ben Levi didn't have a rainbow in his generation. So you see, the rainbow is also a tool of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Line 16, V'chein kulam, d'zei yore al chidush ha'olam, v'shei yi'ef shalomar shahakol b'teva. That is one idea. What does it mean that the pi ha'aretz of Korach was created by Sabratius? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a program in, every so often, nisim, in order to remind us that he is in control of the world. One idea. A second idea on this Mishnah, and that's a Rambam. I mentioned this Rambam in other contexts of other shiurim. You might have heard a shiur that I gave on Nes and Teva. You put it this Rambam in that context. The Rambam in Source 13, the Rambam is on that Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. The Rambam says, what does it mean that these 10 miracles were created at Bein Hashmashos? Says the Rambam, it's lav dafka. It's lav dafka that these miracles were created during Maaseh Bereishis. I'll say it outside first and then we'll see it inside. Says the Rambam, every single miracle throughout the history of the world was already, quote unquote, created Bein Hashmashos. Was created during Maaseh Bereishis. Kriyas Yamsuf, it's not in that Mishnah. That was created during Maaseh Bereishis. The Makas Bechoros, created Maaseh, everything was created Maaseh Bereishis. Says the Rambam, you know why I have to say that? Because in my view, says the Rambam, to say that at some point in history, Hashem has to change nature for whatever reason to save the Jews, that would reflect an imperfection in the Bria. What, all of a sudden you have to make water flow upstream? You can't say that. That would reflect that God's world is imperfect. Says the Rambam, what do you have to say instead of that? Every single miracle throughout history was pre-programmed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not just those 10. Rabbi Yaakov says, those 10 specifically is just to keep us honest. Says the Rambam, every miracle throughout history was pre-programmed in And it's just as natural as what we call nature. It's just that what we call nature, we're used to. And what we call miraculous is nature that we're not used to. Says the Rambam, beginning of 13. Ela shebetchilas asiyas hadvarim nitan betivam sheyasa bahem kol mashe naaseh. Hashem put into the natural world the power to do whatever it's going to do. Bein shahaya oso adavar nase barov hazmanim hu, b'hu davar tivi, whether it is going to happen a lot, o shehu aya be'ekra'i, or will it happen once in a while. Hashem programmed that water will flow downstream 99.9% of the time, but 0.01% of the time, it will be natural for water to flow upstream, or split. Right? Twice in history. Says the Rambam, that's what the message of this Mishnah is. Every one of these was pre-programmed. You can't say, why does the Mishnah list these 10? Because these 10 happened the last few moments, Bein Hashmashos. But all the other miracles happened, like water, the miracle of Kriyas Yam Suf happened when water was created. It happened earlier during the 6. But really, the 10 are Lav Dafka. That is the Chiddush of the Rambam. So we think about Pi Haaretz, says the Rambam. You know what the pshat of that Mishnah is? What do you mean the world, the land opened up? That's natural. Because the Rambam says that the message of every miracle in history, miracles aren't miracles. Well, miracles are really teva that we're not used to. That's the sheet of the Rambam. You could just contrast this. You could put in brackets in your notes. Contrast this to the Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo, who kind of says the opposite on a hashkafic level. There might not be a lamaisa, a machlokes, but on a hashkafic level, the Ramban there says, all teva is really nes. If you don't say all teva's nes, then you don't have a chelik in Torah's Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what the Ramban says. So on a hashkafic, philosophical level, it's kind of opposites. The Rambam says all of nes is really teva. The Ramban says all of teva is really nes. Okay. But that is the Ramban's view of this Mishnah. So we have Rabbi Yaakov's message, that they're there to keep us honest. The Rambam's message, that really they're all pre-programmed, but from before. And one other idea. From Rav Nissen Alpert, we haven't mentioned in a while. Limudei Nissen, in Source 14. Says Rav Nissen Alpert, he quotes the Rambam, but then he gives his own pshat. He says this is the Omek of Habir of the Rambam, but it's really a separate idea. And this pshat will help us understand a specific connection to Korach. Says the Limudei Nissen, the Omek Habir sheyud dvarim shenivru bein hashmashes heim dvarim shebaim listar habriya. These 10 items are items that are fully contradictory to what we're used to. Shemei etzem habriya ein lios davar kazeh. Because the regular system of creation cannot have these things. Shabbat, Shabbarak, Adosh Baruch Hu, Dvarim Shebekoch, excuse me, Lister Es Habriya. They were created b'dafka, similar to Rabbi Yaakov, but he's going to take it in a different way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created them dafka to contradict the Briya. Dehavi beis hefichim b'nosei echad. For example, Peh HaAton, 2 weeks. The donkey talking to Bilam. If he's a donkey, he can't talk. And if he's talking, he's not a donkey. So the fact that this exists is itself a contradiction to itself. How could it be? But that's the point. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created these items, each to come at a different point in history to prove something at that point, which we'll get to. And v'cheinu b'machlokas korach v'adaso. Let's do it now. The earth opening up, that usually doesn't happen. The world stays solid. The world opening up is something against nature. If it's open, so then it's not ground. If it's ground, it doesn't open. What's the point? What is the message to Korach? Because Korach is arguing against something that is obvious and natural. What's that? V'cheinu b'machlokas korach v'adaso. Shi'er Moshe Rabbeinu be'enei sichlo. Moshe realized she'tainas korach ein l'shum basis. He realized korach is way off base. Ad she'afilu b'korach ha'teva shel ha'yetzahara yefshe lovel hazeh. It's impossible to think what you think, korach. Why? What did it say not so long ago? B'kriyas Yamsuf. V'yaminu b'shem u'v'moshe avdo. How could you convince people otherwise? V'yaminu b'Hashem v'Moshe Avdo. Kabbalas HaTorah. Nasa v'Nishma. What did B'nai Yisrael tell Moshe? Imdu HaTayim Ota v'Nishma. We're going to hear from you. The Egel. Moshe came back. Miriam. What happened 2 weeks ago? What happened at the end of Balosha? Miriam speaks Lashon Hara that Moshe Rabbeinu was just like Gaza. What happened? She gets saras. And the whole waits a month. They know what Moshe Rabbeinu did. They know what happens. They realize Moshe's different. So Moshe thinks to himself, he's anav mikaladam. It's not going to his head. But he's trying to deal with the situation. How could it be that this guy is fighting me and my brother that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in charge? This is davar neged ateva. So you know what I need? I need something neged ateva, mita keneged mita. I need something contradictory, inherently, to prove him wrong. Let the ground open up. If it opens up, it's not ground, and it's not supposed to happen. Because every one of those, and we could go through each one. The Piha Atoni mentioned, we have to go through each one. Moshe Rabbeinu's burial. What do you mean? If he's a person, he has to be buried. But if he's Moshe Rabbeinu, who was like a malach on Har Sinai, he shouldn't be buried. So every one of those is like a self-contradiction in itself. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu dafka gave it to Korach. Because that was Mita Keneged Mita. I'll just add one more point. He doesn't say this, but I think it fits in beautifully. When were these 10 things created? Bein Hashmashos. Right at the end. What's Bein Hashmashos? Why dafka Bein Hashmashos? Why did the Mishnah say the last few moments of day 6? Bein Hashmashos inherently is a contradictory time of day. Daytime, nighttime, what is it? Twilight. You can't put your finger on it. Even in halacha, Safek Yom, Safek Laila. So maybe dafka is beautiful. The Reb Nissen Alpert, these things that are self-contradictions were created at the self-contradictory time of the day. Bein Hashmashos. Fits into his foot. Three ideas related to why Moshe Rabbeinu could have asked the question this way. Why did Moshe pick this to prove Korach along with? So we had Reb Yaakov, the Rambam, and Reb Nissen Alpert. Just to end off with one final pasuk, one drush and one dvar moser, and that is when Moshe Rabbeinu is defending himself, Tezayin Tezvav. When Moshe Rabbeinu gets angry and he says, Vayichal Moshe Ma'od, gets angry at the 250 men. Vayomer Hashem, and he says to Hashem, Al Tevin Amachasam, don't accept their carbon. Lo Chamar Echad Mehem Nasasi, I didn't take one of their donkeys. Lo Harayosi Esachad Mehem, and I didn't do badly to any of them. I've always treated them properly. So two thoughts on this line. I didn't take one of their donkeys, I wasn't bad to any of them. First is a drush from Rav Shmuel Shmelka, the Nicholsberger. Says in Source 15, it's a total drush. It's not pshat. But he says, Ish mushchas v'shafel she'ola ledula v'nase manig. You ever get somebody who is basically a lowlife that wins an office in politics? Achashverosh, for example. Right? Balak, for example. Right? They say Balak was a lowlife. Right? And he became the king. Balak Melach Moav. That day! What happens if somebody like that becomes king? Darko, what if they usually do? They throw all the good people out. Darko lahorin migdulasim es rashei ha'am benichpadav shahayu lafanav. And kenegdam, who do they put into office? Yagbiya shvalim anashim kamoso, their friend that was on the street. So that all these low people could be up high. But what happens when a chacham wins office? What happens when somebody who is wise and thoughtful and deserving wins the office? What does he do? Who does he bring up? Who does he keep? He doesn't throw anybody out. Right? He gets the stature, he gets the position, and he has wonderful people with him. So says the Nicholsberger, Lo chamor echad mehem nasati. What does that mean? Chamor. They talk about Amma domela chamor. Right? So when I was elected, I didn't bring anybody low up. I didn't give anybody undeserving any positions. The lo hareosi, and I wasn't bad to, what does the word say? Achad mehem. We know from elsewhere, when it says achad in the Torah, from Sefer Bereishis, achad means special. Achad mehem means the king. Rashi quotes it. I wasn't bad to anybody, I didn't bring anybody bad up, I didn't put anybody good down. Don't complain. They made me Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, I'm going to make me Moshe Rabbeinu. What could I do? I didn't want to do it. He chose me. But al derech drush, I did what I was supposed to do. I didn't give anybody undeserving any positions, and I didn't take anybody deserving and fire them. Lo hariosi as achad mehem. One idea. Drush. But finally, just to end off with the Meshech Chachma. The Meshech Chachma says, V'lo hariosi as achad mehem. I didn't. The same thing, also, saying achad is a lashon of chashuv, but he says, when we talk about humility, when we talk about anava, says the Meshech Chachma, it's very easy to be an anav to people that are much lower than us anyway. People on much lower on the social ladder than us, I could be an anav to them, because everybody realizes that I'm just lowering myself, but it's not really true. You know what it's hard to be an anav to? It's hard to be an anav to somebody who's really above me, who's better than me in a certain area. It's hard to be an anav to a colleague. That's much harder. To somebody who's very lowly, okay, it's a big fake. I'll lower myself to them. But to be an anav to a co-worker, to be an anav to a spouse, to be an anav to a colleague, that's much, much harder. Says the Meshech Chachma, Moshe Rabbeinu, anav mikal adam, he was an anav amiti. He was the true anav. So what does the pasuk say? Right? What happened when Yeshua ben Nun told him there are other people saying nevuah? Moshe Rabbeinu says, amazing, wonderful. Halavai, everybody should be Nevi'im. You think I need this myself? Everybody should be Nevi'im. It's Moshe Rabbeinu. So the second column says the Meshech Chachma, V'lo hariyosi es achad mehem, achad, like the Shmuel Shmelka says, achad is the chashav ones. I wasn't bad. I didn't do anything to even the special chashav people. I even kept them high. I'm an anav to even the greatest people. Moshe Rabbeinu was the true anav. Shagam agdolim b'mayla lo pachas malatam. He didn't lower them. Adarabba, hosif amalasam ukvotam. He lifted them up, and the Meshech Chachma ends off, bina zos. Know this. So that's how we'll have to end off, bina zos. We have to realize and know this message of Moshe Rabbeinu to really not hold ourselves above anybody else and to make sure that, you know, everybody in our book is selam alakim, and everybody we hold on a, every fellow Jew we hold on a pedestal. Okay, so this is a lot about Korach tonight, a lot of three answers for why tzitzis, three answers of why the Bria from Sheshes Yimei Breishis, a couple of other items sprinkled in between, and Baruch Hashem, we'll continue next week. Again, remember, next week, OU.org will be the Parsha Shir, and again, the Makaros will be there, and the other Shirim are there as well, so Baruch Hashem, we will continue.